So we've been looking at the last prakim of Divrei Yamim Aleph that is planning to build the Beit HaMikdash. He's gotten the blueprints together, and we talked about how he calls the Beit HaMikdash the footstool of God, and how that's really kind of a symbol of how we on earth are refracting, as it were, God's light through the world, that it's our job to be the light of God, to be the manifestation of the Kavod in the world. And I want to look at two of the Prakim Tehillim that kind of highlight this, that our job is to bring Hashem into the world. First one is Tehillim Samach Vav. Starts out Lamnasech Shir Mizmor.
Your friend.
I'm sorry. Hariyu Lelokim Kol Haaretz. And JPS translation, it's raise a shout for God, all the earth, Hariyu Hashem. Hirsch actually translates that as,
You froze for a while, but you're back.
oh.
I missed the last 2 minutes.
Oh. They said that the Perek Samech Vav starts with Lamaseach Shir Mizmor, Hariyu Lelokim Kol Haaretz. And the JPS translates that as raise a shout, Hariyu, shout to God. But Hirsch translates that as Hariyu, awaken, awaken to God. So Hashem, the psalm is looking for a day when everyone will be awakened to praise Hashem, and then continues on, Imru Lelokim, Mana Rama Secha. Oh, sorry, this next pasuk is Zamru Kavod Shemos, tell about his Kavod, which is a manifestation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. Simu Kavod Tilato, then tell his praises. We want to have the whole world to sing God's praises. Imrim Elokim, Mana Rama Secha. Tell God how awesome his works are. Rob Uzcha, Yichashu Lecha Evecha. I would translate, and in your great strength, you show the lie to your enemies, those who deny you. Your manifestation of the world is incontrovertible. The whole world will bow to you and will sing to you. Zemr Shemecha, sing your name, Selah. Hold that thought. End of the first stitch. And I want to look at that word there. Imru Elokim Man Nara Shemecha. It translates it here. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds? And Nora here, those in the singular, not Nora Imasecha. Nora describes the sum total of everything that God does. That is Nora. What is Nora? What does awe mean? Well, Soloveitchik calls that sense of Nora, calls that the numinous. You've heard that term before? There you
Yes,
go.
from you.
From me. Okay, there you go. We've said that before. That's from Rudolf Otto, who's an early 20th century Protestant theologian. But the idea of that is, it's what he says, it's non-rational, non-sensory. You can't put it into words. There's a sense of something outside besides me, outside the self. And the way he himself put it, invades precise formulation words, like the beauty of a musical composition, non-rational, eludes complete conceptual analysis. Must be
But
discussing some.
is it abstraction, or it's
It's the
different from
feeling that
abstract?
one has in the presence of, it's the feeling of the holy, is the way he puts it. The feeling that there is something greater out there. That's exactly why you feel it that way, but in the sense of something that is overwhelming. And the way, this is a quote from him, as I call it, the idea of the holy. Feeling of it may at times come sweeping like a gentle tide, pervading the mind with a tranquil mood of deepest worship. It's that sense of that God's out there in the world. That's knowing what that really means. May pass over to a more set and lasting attitude until at last it dies away and the soul resumes its profane, non-religious mood of everyday experience. But it's the speechless humility of the creature in the presence of whom or what, in the presence of that which is a mystery inexpressible and above all creatures. That's what Nora is. That's what Yirat Elokim is. Something there that we can't put into words. And we express the idea that we can't put into words in Shacharit for Shabbos. If you look at our davening, it's all built around the same four words, descriptions of Hashem. It comes from Moshe in Devarim, and it says, Ki Hashem Elokeichem hu Elokei Elohim, that God is the God of all powers, Adonai, master of all masters, Hakel, Hagadol, Hagiborim, Hanara. Those four words. Hakel, Gadol, Hagiborim, Hanara, translate them as God, great, powerful, awesome. David quoted them before, where he says, Hashem, Lecha Hashem, Hagadula, Vahagura. And then it was used by Nehemiah in the very last book of Tanakh. This is Nehemiah, it's the time of the Yatzei Bekesa Gedola. They're establishing what our tefillot are. Vatel kina hakel hagadol hagibar benara. You, hakel gadol gibar benara, shomer b'chesed. You've kept the faith. We quote that in Shemoneh Esrei. We see hakel gadol gibar benara, those same words, and we define them in Nishma, end of Psukei Zimra and Shavuos. We say, Mi melachu, mi yishlach, who is like you? Who can be compared to you? Mi yarachlach, who is a value like yours? Hakel hagadol hagibar mara. Same words, and we define those words. Hakel ba'atasumot zuzecha, your kel in your power, in your strength. Gadol b'chvot shemecha, gedula is in the greatness of your name, literally how you manifest in the world. Hagibor ha'netzach, your gvura is something that is eternal, outside of time. B'hanara, we don't define it. You are simply awesome in your awesomeness. Just striking. There aren't words there. I can't put any more adjective there. Being no ra is ineffable. That's the nuance. I can't put it in words. I just feel it. So what do we do with that feeling? We feel it. Sometimes there are points where we get to that point, we actually feel it. What do you do with that sense of the numinous and the idea of the holy as Otto puts it? Tim tells us what we're supposed to do. Atay Yisrael, now Israel, Ma Hashem Elokecha Sho'el Mimcha. This is from the same parak as that Kel Gadol Gibar Benara. Now Israel, what does God ask of you? Kim Yirat Hashem Elokecha, to have that Yira, that sense of awe from God. Alechem b'chol drachav, go in his ways. Avodato, love him. Avodat Hashem Elokecha, serve God. B'chol b'avcha, b'chol nafshecha. Lishmor mitzvot
Can
Hashem.
you hold 1 second?
Sure.
Sorry, Janet just wrote me. She thought you said the class was at 10 o'clock tonight.
Oh, the Chumash class is at 10.
Oh, she's so confused. Sorry, let me write her. Sorry to interrupt you. You can keep going.
Okay, which more of Hashem, that's what Hashem wants of us, to keep the commandments, and his laws, that command to you, the Tovlach, and this is all for your good. So one way of reading that is that God only wants one thing, which is Bira, Lava, La Alecha, Lava, Lavo, Lishmor, all these things all at once. But the way to read this, and we've talked about when we just looked at this parak inside 2 years ago, is that Hashem really wants the one thing. It is Atah Hashem by Yisrael, Ma Hashem Elokecha Sho'el Mimcha. What does God ask you? Kim Liyirat Hashem Elokecha, to have this sense of Yira, and therefore everything else will follow. The Avot, everything comes out of that sense of Yira. That's where the Gemara puts it. Rabbi Chananya, Hakol bidei shamayim chutzi biyirat shamayim. Everything's in the hands of heaven except for this, the awe of God, of heaven. As it says, Atah Yisrael, Ma Hashem Elokecha Sho'el Mimcha, what does God want of you? Kiyum Lira is to fear God. Yira, have that idea of the holy. We have to start with that, and then everything else will come. It's a nice thought from the Noam Elimelech, which is Elimelech mi Luzhinsk, like the third generation of Chassidus, founder of Polish Chassidus. The Noam Elimelech, and this is a summary here. Noam Elimelech, Noam Elimelech explains when it says, Ma Hashem Elokecha Sho'el Mimcha, what does God ask of you? In a kavanah doresh me'emach, doesn't mean to say, what does God want you to do? That's not what ask of you means. El milashon she'la kelim means, she'el means to borrow. What does God want to borrow from you? And to explain what that means, maybe Rabbi Elimelech Luzhinsk, Mashal. So he brings a parable. I want to give you oil or honey that I have, and I don't have appropriate containers for it. I want to give you a cup of honey, but I can't because I don't have any containers for that. So I'm going to borrow from you. I'm going to borrow a cup container from you, and I'm going to pour it into there. That's what Shoel Mimcha. What that means, Adam will clean. But the human being is the vessel. To get the divine providence, all the brachot that are going to come from. Kadosh Baruch Hu Shoel Meitanu Atah Kli. So Hashem once says, okay, I'm going to borrow you. That's the Yira. I want you to simply be here for me, and I will pour the bracha into you from there. I'm going to borrow your Yirat Shamayim. That's ours to freely acknowledge, and you can fill it with all the mitzvot, that we can fulfill the ultimate purpose of creation. And that's the quote that I always love quoting from Rav Soloveitchik. The Torah's main objective is the translation of the numinous into the kerygmatic. That sound familiar? I've quoted that before.
And what's charismatic again?
Kerygmatic is another one of those Protestant words there, which means literally preaching.
Preaching?
Preaching to tell the world.
I wish I knew Latin. It would make my life so much better.
That's Greek, though.
Oh. I wish I knew Greek and
Okay,
Latin.
I just look these things up as they happen. So, Torah's objective, translation, numinous, and kerygmatic. We feel holy. That's great. Now you're going to do something with it. That's what the mitzvot are there for. So we can now
Numinous
take
is
God's
which language? Is that
numinous
Greek?
is from the Greek.
Okay.
I think so. Of a numen. And history is from the Latin. There we go. Numen.
So they mix their Latin and their Greek all the time.
That's always, oh, that's always true. Okay, so that's our job. So we're going to take that sense of no ra that we have, and we spread to the rest of the world. Mostly by being example. That's not the preaching, it's by doing the mitzvah there. So our parak continues. Hi, Janet.
Hi.
Talking about being holy. Tehillim Samach Vav. So the parak continues. L'churu'u mafalot Elokim. So we tell the world, go look at all of God's glorious actions. Nara alila al bnei Adam, how his actions, alila means things that have a cause. Evidently, that la la lil v'la alul means for all intents and purposes, things that are causes of alil. So, how great are all the things that God does, al bnei Adam, on human beings? And that's the no-ra. We try to tell everybody, you need to look at this and feel that no-ra. As the Malbim says, alilot, the hema polot, shesharsha mikoch tochnit musarit. Alilah is our actions that are done for some. Must have some moral cause. I have some reason for doing them. And for God, based on Hashem, niflot she yaseh, the God's action, shesharsham, mipat tochnot tzedek, v'mesharim, v'yeter midotav, that there are actions that come out of God, Hashem's midot, that allow us to see Hashem's midot in those actions. And what are those? Those are the miracles he's just going to describe. Hafach yam la'abashah, turns the sea to dry land, including the Red Sea. But Naharya Ruba and splitting the river when the people came into Eretz Yisrael, when the Jordan split, Sham Nismacha Bo, and there we rejoice in Hashem. Moshe Olam, God rules the world in his power, Einav Bagayim Tzipena, and his eyes are on the whole world. Hasarim Al Yarimu Lamo, and those who try to rebel against him can't lift up their hands. Selah. End of verse. We see Hashem, we should get that sense of the holy in the miracles that happen in the world.
Brian, come get this. Get the double A's out. You can do it yourself. I open it for you.
I'm going
Janet.
to continue. But then it continues that the biggest miracle is the survival of the Jewish people. That's the miracle we want the world to look at. So nations, you shall bless our God. Shmiu kol tilato, praise him. Allah give, let his praise be heard. Hasam nafshenu chayim, that allowed, that gave us life. We went Bnei Yisrael, we're not telling them what Raglino did not allow us to slip. He Bachananu Elokim, because even though God has tested us, Tarfino Kitserev Kesef has smelted us, purified us, like smelting silver. God allowed it, trapped us in a net. Sometime Kab Matnenu put fetters, put irons on our legs. Harchavta Enosh L'Roshenu. You Hashem have allowed other men to rule over us, an ocean sense of mortal man to rule over us. Banu ba'esh b'mayim, we have gone through fire and water. V'tatzienu l'revaya, and we still come out.
So this fire and water thing was in Tehillim?
Yep.
Wow.
There it is. Banu ba'esh b'mayim, we people have gone through fire and water, and we're still here to talk about it. And he brought us into the peace, literally into the pasture. He brought us into peace. We have survived. That is the miracle that allows that others should see and say, wow, God really exists. And we all know Mark's essay concerning the Jews. You've heard about this, right? If statistics are right, Jews constitute but 1% of the human race. It suggests a nebulous dim puff of stardust lost in the blaze of the Milky Way. Probably Jews are hardly to be heard of, but he's heard of and always been heard of. He is as prominent on the planet as any other people. His commercial importance is extravagantly out of proportion to smallness and bulk. His contribution to the world's list of great names in literature, science, art, music, finance, medicine, and abstruse learning, that's what I like, are also way out of proportion to the weakness of the numbers. He has made a marvelous fight in this world in all the ages, he's done it with his hands tied behind him. He can be vain of himself and be excused for it. Egyptian, the Babylonian, the Persian rose, filled the planet with sound and splendor, then faded to dream stuff, passed away. The Greek and the Roman followed and made a vast noise, and they are gone. Other peoples have sprung up and held their torch high for a time, but it burned out, and they sit in twilight now, or have vanished. The Jews saw them all, beat them all, and is now what he always was, exhibiting no decadence, no infirmities of age, no weakening of his parts, no slowing of his energies, no dulling of his alert and aggressive mind. All things are mortal but the Jew. All other forces pass, but he remains. What is the secret of his immortality? And he ends the essay there. We don't know. But he kind of answers it earlier in the whole essay. It's a very long essay there. But it's a great Mark Twain kind of comment, which I'm going to read as well. And nobody reads this part of the essay. Last week in Vienna, a hailstorm struck the prodigious Central Cemetery and made a wasteful destruction there. In the Christian part of it, according to official figures, 621 window panes were broken, more than 900 birds were killed, 5 great trees, many small ones, were torn to shreds, ornamental plants were ruined. It took the cemetery's whole force of 300 laborers more than 3 days to clear away the storm's wreckage. In the report occurs this remark, and in its italics you can hear it grit its Christian teeth. It says, Leidich the Israelitish Abheilung is Freitag vom Hegelwasser ganzig verschont werden war. Which, of course, we know what that means. So Google translate that. Only the Israelite section of the cemetery had been completely spared from the hailstorm. Describing this. Hailstorm destroys the cemetery. Jewish cemetery is completely spared. Not a hailstorm hit the Jewish reservation. Such nepotism makes me tired.
Yeah, I never heard that part.
Yes, never heard that part. You read the essay. I just love that line there, okay? That's the secret of Jewish immortality is divine nepotism. Right? God loves us, Hashem says.
We don't always see that nepotism.
I'm sorry?
We don't always see that nepotism.
We don't always see it, but knowing it there. B'ni b'chori Yisrael. Appreciate that. We are the manifestation of Hashem's power in the world. Mm. And so, that's just saying, look at this and nations praise God. He's going to make it personal. Right now, he's got to turn that the numinous into the charismatic. What is the psalmist going to do with that? So he continues the parak. I will come bring sacrifices in the temple. That I open my mouth, the devar pi but spitzarli, and that I promised that I had spoken about when I was in trouble. fat offerings, Elolacha, I'll bring to you in Ketoret Elim, and I will offer rams to you, Aseh Bakar, Imatutim Sela, cattle, goats, all the sacrifices, I'll bring that to you. Sela. Hold that thought. But that's only one thing. That's one part of it is offering the sacrifices. But they're not really the point. He's going to talk to Kol Yireh Elokim and say, we need to talk about Hashem. That purpose of Tehillim is to praise Hashem. So now listen, I will tell you, all those who have the sense of Yireh, you have that sense of the numinous of the holy, feel God in the world. I'll tell you what God's done for me. Elav pikarati, I called to him, Ramam tachaloshani, and his praise was on my lips, my tongue. Avonim ra'i ti b'livi, lo yishma ad Hashem, that even if I saw myself as a sinner, God didn't see it. Hashem saw me as not perfect, but adequate. Chen shma Elokim, therefore Hashem, listen, hiksib b'kol tefilati, Baruch Elokim, blessed is God asher lo hesir tefilati v'chasdo me'iti. Blessed is God who did not take away my tefillah. That's what I'm thanking God for. I still have the ability to daven, to talk to Hashem. That's what Yireh is, and that's why he starts out with Zamruch Avon Shemo, pray. The world should praise Hashem's name, and that's what I should use that sense of. Once I have that sense of the Norah, of the Yireh, to tell others, this is my tefillah. That's why Ibn Ezra translates Baruch. Blessed Hashem, Shazrani Letat Balel, Hashem helped me to daven, to talk to God. Vesir Chasto, Vechasto HaYashet. Hashem's chesed is that I can, in fact, say Tehillim.
So you can in fact what?
Say Tehillim. The
Oh.
fact that I can praise Hashem is the reason for my praising Hashem. That's our purpose. That's the kerygma. That's the preaching part. And the next parak, which is Parak Samach Zion, is very similar. It's exhorting the whole world to praise Hashem. But this actually, here we have Tilam Samach Zion, Lam Nasech, B'nai Goat means Marashir, and it has a very interesting background. And this is from the Chida. So 16th century, no, Chida would be 18th century. David Melch Alav Shalom. Heroic Harsh Baruch Hu Baruch HaKodesh, he had a vision from Hashem. His Ruach HaKodesh and his Ruach HaKodesh, sort of a nevuah, the Mizmor, he saw this parak. Lam Naseach Ben Giyot Mizmor Shir, all the different kinds of Tehillim all together. Elokim Yechanenu, Bechulei, God have mercy on us, etc. This parak. Katuv Al Tas Shel Zahav, he had a mufaz. He had a vision of it written on a golden tablet. Asui b'tzurat menorah, written like a menorah. Ve'yad David avelach alav shalom noseh zeh mizmor. So David would carry this perek tehillim, this mizmor. Katuv mitziyar b'chakuk b'megino, was carved into his shield. Atas shel zahav b'tzurat menorah, and this tablet with this menorah shaped perek written on it. When he went out to war, and he would think about what this parak meant. He would win, enemies would fall before him. And this story that David had this parak Samach Zion, on his shield, and written in the form of menorah. I got this from a manuscript from the Marshal, which would be that's 16th century.
What's his name, Marshall?
What?
What's his name, the Maharshall?
Maharshal. Shlomo
Okay.
Hallelujah.
Katuv. So the Chida is saying that I found this in a manuscript by the Maharshal. It's an older tradition. Shem Katuv, and in that manuscript there was written Sodot Nifloot, Armuzop and Mizmar Nizkar, lots of Kabbalistic secrets and wondrous things that are all hidden in this. In this parak. So we're going to look at this parak.
And this parak is shaped like a menorah. Oh, now I
Right, so
see.
you'll see this, here you go. And a lot of you can see it on the see the image. A lot of shuls will have a plaque or something, or have it on the wall. This Lamnaseach with the Mizmor Shir Elokim Yechaneinu, etc., and like written like a menorah here. That's the written like a menorah. And what it means to be written like a menorah, I mean, aside from the Kabbalistic side, which we're going to leave aside right now, is that it's written chiastically. We all know what a chiasm is, right?
I forgot.
What?
I
Literally,
forgot what a chiastic structure looks like. What is
a
it?
chi is from the Greek chi, which means X. It means
Which
that
means
the first
what?
pasuk corresponds to the last pasuk, the second pasuk corresponds to the second to last, third, and it all kind of centers. So if you look at now here, put
Okay.
outside so you can see that the structure here written, here's the menorah. When I put out, turn it on its side, it's now the first pasuk on the bottom because we started from the right side.
Okay.
Elokim Yechaneinu corresponds to the last pasuk of Yivarechenu Elokim, Yivarotu Kos. Second pasuk is Ladat Aretz Darchecha, that everyone should know you. And then goes back to the Eretz, is the second to last pasuk, Eretz Nat Na'iv Ula, the land will bring forth its fruit. Third pasuk, Yaducha Amim Elokim, Yaducha Amim Kulam, the nations will all know you. And the third to last pasuk is exactly the same, Yaducha Amim Elokim, Yaducha Amim Kulam. They're the parallel is exact. It just copies it. And it centers around this Yismechu b'Yiranu Lu'umim. All the nations should rejoice and sing, Ki Tishpot Amim Yishor, because you will judge the nations rightly. Lu'umim b'Eretz Tenachem Selah, and you will lead all the nations in the land. So that's it. That menorah is demonstrated as chiastic. And here it is written out again. Introduction, then pasuk, the bracha pasuk, Yivarechenu Elokim, Yivarechenu Elokeinu, then Ladat Ba'aretz, and Eretz Nat Na'iv Ula, parallel, Yaducha Amim, and the center. And we'll look at that chiasm. The other structural aspect of the Perek is that it contains exactly 49 words. Servant says that corresponds.
All these lines are 49 words.
I'm sorry?
All these lines with the shape of the menorah are 49 words.
Right, you add up all the words, and you'll have to believe me on that one. You can count them out. It's
No,
eight
I
pesukim in
think.
total, but 49 words, which is 7 times 7. It's the days of the Omer. So
Oh.
we have the minhag to say this parak as part of the re saying the Omer. If you look in your siddur, after you say Hayom, whatever Yom, then we'll say Lamnaseach, there's these 49 words. So it's a hint to the Omer as well. And that's the way we look at it. So I was amused enough to ask ChatGPT us.
Danny, can you just send me that the thing in the shape of the menorah?
Well, you can actually,
How could I get that?
well, yeah, I send you the on the email, right? You can click on that link to this, what I'm reading right now, these
Oh,
sources.
okay. So on my your email to me, this is on there.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's called, right? Look for the link that's called The Power and the Glory. This essay, and it's down, that picture is down there.
Okay.
And it's got a link there to Wikipedia, which will show you more of these.
So many of them are like this.
Yeah, you'll see that. Here's one here.
A different
Lots of
one.
different, that's one ways this kind of is illustrated. Lots of
It's
Siddurim will have it.
the same one. It's the same parak or a different
Same
parak?
parrot.
Are there
Lamnaseach.
any other parakim that do the same thing, or this is the only one?
The other prakim that have a chiastic structure, it's the only one that, sort of seven verses after the
Got it.
introduction, that is that
But
perfectly chiastic, and that has
this is
49.
special.
Yeah. So again, this is something
Wow.
that we look at being special there. So I was amused enough to ask ChatGPT why.
You're amused enough to what?
To ask ChatGPT, the artificial intelligence.
Okay.
It's good for writing essays. And it gave me a whole thing about how Psalm 67 is not recited during the County Omer, that we recite Psalm 49, because it refers to arbitrary Arab wealth. I have no idea what it's talking about. I mean, this was great. This completely made everything up. is included in the Amida between Maimonides and the Sephardic versions. I have no idea what that means. It's recited the first time in the evening of the fifth day of the Omer. I have no idea what it's talking about. And it's got the beginning of the evening of the Holy Sabbath following Passover. Nothing, okay? It's in the Amida. It isn't even wrong, okay?
So much
it
for
isn't
AI.
Well, I don't know where, you know, the only conclusion I can come to, this parak is so deep and mystical that it caused immediate breakdown in computers. You know, it's like a Star Trek episode. This does not compute. So ChatGPT cannot analyze this parak.
That's wild. You
Google
found
again.
It's a real chink there, huh?
I have no idea. So we're going to look at it as it with a human mind, okay? So it starts out, Lanaseh, we go, Beniginot, Mizmashir, this is a Netzach, it's a Nats, Mizmashir, Elohim, Yechanenu, Vivarchenu. Hashem, be gracious to us, bless us, Ye'er Panav, Itanu, shine your face upon us, Selah, hold that thought.
That's
so those,
like,
all those words,
we're kind of calling it.
Right, there you go. So that's obviously their allusion to Birkat Kohanim. Yivarech Hashem, Yishmerecha Er, Hashem Panah Be'lecha V'yuchenecha. Those first two kim are there. Yisa Hashem Panah Be'lecha V'yisem L'cha Shalom is not.
Yeah.
There's no Yisa Panim, and there's no Shalom in there. So we looked at these brachot my last year when Parshat Naso. I talked about what is the difference between the Er Panav, Me'ashayim Shayim is shine his countenance upon you, as opposed to Yisak carry his countenance. The way Rashi puts it, Ye'er Hashem panav elecha, Ye'er lecha panim socha kot, panim tzuvot. Hashem should show you a yellow smiling face. They said that's the first emoji. Okay, that's the smiling face emoji. It's literally tzuvot means golden, shining yellow face. So that's Ye'er Hashem panav. But Yisa Hashem panav elecha, he says, is very different. It's not a sin. It doesn't mean the same thing. Yisa Hashem panav elecha yichbosh ka'aso. Hashem should cover his anger up. And that comes from the Midbar Rabbah, where it says, Ya'er, yishe yabit b'cha b'panim me'irot. God should show the gleaming face, the happy face. Lo panim tumot, not the angry face. And Yisa Hashem panav elecha means Yavir kaso mimcha. And Yisa ela lashon hasara. Yisa means to take it away. And panav el parim shel zam. So it says Yisa Hashem panav elecha doesn't mean that Hashem should show his face to you, which we always translate. It means may Hashem take away his panim elecha. May Hashem not show his face that he's showing, that he would show to you if when he's angry. Glomar otama panim shel zam shayor ru'ud lavo elecha, that you're angry, Hashem. Hashem's angry. Yashir mecha, may Hashem take them. Two different brachot. One is when Hashem's happy, may he let you know it. When Hashem's not happy, may he not let you know it. They're not synonymous. And this was a comment by Rabbi David Meshuloff, who I don't know who that was, but I don't really, Phyllis does. He's in Israel. But an essay on this says that this is a highly startling blessing. Would not may the Lord not be angry with you, be more of a blessing. This is when Hashem is angry with you, don't show his face. Explain that Birkat Kohanim acknowledges that we're not perfect. We don't always deserve the bracha. But when we're asking for the rachamim, that Hashem turn aside when he's angry. But this parak doesn't go there. This is just about the Ye'er Hashem panav elecha. This is why Hashem's happy. This is Hashem's light should spread out all of us. And we keep coming back to this metaphor of the light that shines over us. That's Hashem's providence and all the ways that we understand it. That's the Sefirot, and how we are there to spread that out in the rest of the world. We are there to spread that light to the world, and that comes back to this image of the menorah. This parak is about the menorah, and the idea of the menorah is that it may be inside the Beit Midrash, but it's there to spread the light outside. When Shlomo builds the Beit Midrash, it describes the menorah. Vayatha bayit chalonei shukafim atumim. He made for the house for the Beit Midrash, he made windows that were broad and narrow. The Gemara says, what does that mean? Shukafim bifnim, they were broad, they were wide inside, atumim b'chutz, and they were tight on the outside. Oh, no, other way around. They're narrow on the inside and they're wide, broad on the outside. Lo ra'ara ani tzrich, to say that they don't. Now we're not trying to get light into the building. We're trying to spread the light outside. And where the Medrash puts it,
You
teidashik
know, it's
adam bone.
interesting because you see a lot
Can't
of
hear you.
windows in the old city
Yeah.
where they're narrow on the outside and wider on the inside because you didn't want people being able to attack you in your home or something.
Oh, okay. That makes
Like a
sense. So the,
defensive architecture.
okay, that makes sense. So this is the opposite. These are spreading out. And the way it puts it is that that normally you would have they'd be narrow on the out, narrow on the outside and be wide on the inside. Or that was the measure is looking at is to increase the light inside. So we kind of spread the light inside the house. Someone said bana beit midash lo asa kach. So someone did differently. Asa chalanot sarot mibifneim, that the windows were narrow inside, rachbo bachutz and wide outside. Vishya or yotzei beit midash shu me'er lachutz, that the light should come from inside and spread out. So then that becomes the connection to the Omer. That's talked about the fact that we are this we wrote these seven layer levels, and the 49 is the seven within the seven. Is the way we can classify that divine light refracted through the universe and through our own actions. That the Omer is when we're supposed to work on this Mido. So we become the prism that we can say, Ya'er Hashem Panavei Otanu, that's what the Perek says, Hashem should shine the light on us, and then we can spread it out. And it starts by saying we need a bracha. Perek here says, Elokim Yechaninu Brachinu, the first pasuk is, Yibrech Hashem, that we need some of that literally to be prosperous. We need the bracha, not because we want all the stuff, but that's going to allow us in order to spread that light to others. And that's the next part of the Perek, when it says, Ladat ba'aretz derachecha, that's through that, through when Hashem used to shine a light on us, that the rest of the world will know your ways. The nations will know your salvation that you bring. The nations will acknowledge you. They will all acknowledge you. And that's our mission. To bring Hashem in the world. So that's the apex of the chiasmus of the central verse is that all the world will rejoice. Because you will judge the nations righteously, and you will lead the nations of the world. That's the Malchut Shaddai. Look forward today when the world rejoices the fact that Hashem judges. And we say, and then the pasuk goes back and to go says, well, why do we want the bracha? That's Yaduchamim Kulam, because it will lead to material prosperity. That's bracha. Repeating that bracha, the land will bring forth its bounty. That Hashem will bless all of us. Our God is now the God of the entire world. And so that parallels the last pasuk is that parallels the first of Elokeinu Yechanenu will bless us. But now Hashem making the point that the reason for the bracha is so that we have this Yirat Hashem. This sense, this ineffable, we can't put into words, but it's just a sense that God exists, this idea of the holy. That's the Yirat. That's the Eretz Yivula, this prosperity. We have lots of things. We're rich. It's not a payment, it's not a reward. It's a gift that allows us to move forward. This is the way the Rambam puts it about what prosperity in this world is all about. Mr. Perush, if you have to explain, you have to explain all the bracha in the Torah, the curses, all in the same way. If you serve Hashem with joy, and you keep his ways, that these bracha will come to you. And the curses will go far away. Ad shetiyu priyim lehitchakim b'Torah, so that you will be able, you will have the free time to study Torah, lasokba, and to do the mitzvot. That's the purpose of bracha in this world, is to give the opportunity to do more mitzvot. So that eventually you'll get olam haba. That's the ultimate reward. And you'll have good in the world that is all good. And you'll exist forever in this olam haba. That's the ultimate reward. Rewards in this world are not for that. I have a metaphor that it's like getting a second round of venture capital funding. You are looking to your funder to see what you managed to do with what you've gotten before. And the funder says, oh, you did a good job so far. We'll get more money. That's not the big payoff. That's the IPO. That's much later. And so you have to realize that the gifts that we have are tools. The brachot that we have in this world are not rewards. They're tools. You have to use them to give others, and then we get more of those gifts. And so we have this parak, symbolized by the menorah, spreading that light through the whole world. And this was a summary from David Yosef Chaim Menachem, who is an interesting guy. He's an Iraqi cantor, who's mostly trying to preserve Iraqi nigunim in Israel. But he's got a couple of nice essays on Torah here and on Tehillim. He says, a mizmor nichtav b'tzurat menorah. This parak, written like the menorah, just semel ha'la'om shalanu, that this is our national symbol. Wrote klapechutz, and we light the menorah, so it shines out. Particulari. Tell us it's not, the light is not meant to be, it's not a small purpose, it's not supposed to be particular just to us. El universali. It's universal. That's our mission. Similarly, we say this during the period of the Sefirat Omer. Between the time that we became a nation, Matan Torah, and then bring us the time of Matan Torah, Sheba Yesh HaMeser HaUniversali, because that is the universal morality, Tafkid Universali Shalom Yisrael, the universal mission of the Jews to spread that Torah to the world. That's why we say that symbolizes our mission during the period of the Old. And going back to that original Midrash, that the Chidah said that this parak was on the Magen David, the shield of David, that he would go out in war, he would think about what it meant, and he would win. How does that connect? And so this is the first use I know of the word term Magen David. It's not the six-pointed star that we usually associate with that. I don't know where that comes from, actually. But this is the menorah, or the Perek Tehillim that's written in the shape of menorah. I think the message of the Midrash is that the real David, the one we're supposed to remember and tell the story of, is not the warrior of Sefer Shmuel, but the psalmist of Sefer Tehillim. That's the way we should look at David, as being shielded by Sefer Tehillim. That even when he's going out in the Milchama, he's going to war, he would still be thinking in terms of Tehillim. And that the victory he's looking for is not a military conquest, not to slaughter everybody, but this point of the middle branch of this menorah of Yismachu V'yarnu Lumim, that all the nations should celebrate Hashem. And that would be a true victory. So we'll stop here.
Wow.
And also continue next week.